You're listening to the Art of Play podcast. This podcast is about play, not just childhood play, all play. We're exploring different modes of play and how we can cultivate our personal culture of play as adults to make your human experience a little more playful and a lot more proactive. Today we have a treat. Carolee Johnson is our guest today. She is one of those people that has set the precedence of play in her life early on, and now she can see the repercussions for three generations. She has a history of shepherding children toward more play, both physical and imaginative. She worked in childcare for children with developmental delays, as well as a school librarian, and would influence the children in her life toward creativity and curiosity, expanding horizons and using their imaginations. She is still using play in most of the aspects of her adult life, and she is a prime example of how to use the benefits of play to enrich your own life. So three takeaways that I want you to get from our talk today are, one, inclusion, that you can include people in your play. It doesn't have to be your peers. It doesn't have to be somebody's complicated, but just including people in your play makes it that much more enjoyable. Number two, being proud of your effort and trying your best. If you've tried your best and put effort towards something that you feel proud of, it's okay to feel proud of that and feel like you did something good there and be able to move on. And number three, don't overbook yourself. Give yourself some breathing room to do fun things in your life and just take the time to just enjoy the life that you have to lead. So before we get into the interview, just as a side note, this is the first interview I had done over phone, so the recording is a little bit different and there's some audio glitches that you'll hear. I tried my best to edit them all out, but some were unavoidable. So just keep that in mind. And please note that I interviewed Carolee before COVID-19, so keeping just in mind some of the context as we jump right in.
Hello there.
Hi, Carolee. How are you?
Good.
And are you still babysitting grandkids right now?
I am. Yeah, we're on our last day. Mom and Dad should be home about 4:30.
Ooh, that's exciting.
I'm exhausted.
Is everybody including you excited?
This has been so great. The kids are so good. There's five. The oldest is 11. The youngest is 18 months. And I just said, they're such good kids. And that shows that it's good parenting, you know. And so
today, let's just, why don't you give me a little bit of a recap of your work history?
Just of what I did professionally?
Yes.
Career-wise?
Yes.
Okay. So I started out, I don't have a degree in early childhood. I'll make that clear right off the bat. But I have at least 17 years of experience with mostly with developmentally delayed children, preschoolers on up through sixth grade. And then I was a school librarian for 8 years. So
yeah,
that's kind of my background.
Yeah, lots of exposure to kids.
And then of course I raised five kids, so I count that too.
Of course, you should. As you should, yes, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So
you know, I think I mentioned to you, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. That was great.
Well, I was going to say, I think I mentioned to you, one of the biggest things we did in our preschools was to make sure that children played, because that is how they learned. That was getting a basic foundation of them learning, like you just said, learning how to share, learning how to be creative in dress up. And in the kitchen, you know, the little kitchen area, we would often have people stop by and say, well, golly, every time I come by here, the kids are always just playing. And I said, well, play is work. this is their work. Just like a student in an upper grade is sitting with his notebook and learning, you know, and taking notes and reading out of a book, to a young child, this is the way they learn.
Right.
It's foundational to that learning. But the other key to that, like what you were just saying, is children must play. It stimulates their brains. It gets their bodies working, whether it's outside or it's at a board game to help their mind get strategies and, you know, things like that. I think it's so vital to their development to play. And as an adult, I don't think sometimes I play enough because I need more stimulation. I need more, my brain needs more of that type of creative stimulation to even, to be balanced, to be,
right. Yeah.
You know, fulfilled. And so, yeah, and I'm a huge advocate of play.
I think that there's a place for every kind of play. And I think that there's definite boundaries that were not, that couldn't be defined before now, because we never had these opportunities until now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, okay. So I want to talk to you about if you remember playing something as a kid that you still use today.
Well, so for instance, I was a huge tomboy when I was a girl, young girl.
Oh, yeah.
And I played baseball and football and, you know, soccer wasn't a thing back then. But kickball, tetherball, we climbed bars. You know, I never rarely was found with a book. maybe not a good thing to admit. But,
I don't think so. No, I think it takes all kinds.
But to this day, that's what I prefer doing, a more physical thing. So yesterday I was outside shooting hoops with my grandsons.
Yeah.
And so playing outdoors was a vital part of my childhood. Roller skating. We roller skated everywhere, riding our bikes. It was those kinds of things that, if, you know, a ball in my hand is where I felt the most comfortable.
Yeah,
I was a softball player and field hockey, you know, so things like that. I was just more physical. So for my situation, that built my team skills, you know, cooperation, not to mention just even the physical aspect of being in, you know, in good physical shape, because I was constantly running and playing and doing those kinds of things.
Right. Yeah.
One thing, as I've watched children, a great example is my kids that live in Texas. They are big time game players. They do board games, card games constantly. And I've got one little grandson, he's 10, that wants to win. I mean, you know, he wants to win. And when he doesn't, there's some issues there for him.
Yeah.
He, you know, pouts and has problems with that. But over time now, what I've watched is because they consistently are playing games. I'm trying to remember the favorite one, and it's left my brain right now, but real strategy building.
Mm-hmm. Where they have to plan out.
Spencer.
Wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Spencer's putting more of his energy into his strategy building than into worrying about if he's going to win or lose. And
yeah.
I've just seen his character, you know, that part of him really mature and develop as he's played those kinds of games. I mean, I bet every single day they play some sort of a board game.
Which is phenomenal consistency. I mean, in this day and age, you know, yeah. I mean, it's a struggle to get everybody around the dinner table, let alone around a game table, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, they are, you know, and it, even different ages. They've kind of got two families. They've got these two older boys, and then there's about 6 years between the little girl and the youngest. And they'll even sit and play, you know, a simple board game with them. And so every day, a board game or card game or Play-Doh, you know, Play-Doh sets, things like that are always out. And they're playing them every day.
Well, and
I just watched Spencer especially mature and kind of come into his own a little bit.
Yeah.
Through competition, through strategy building, you know, things like that.
Well, and the desire to win has probably propelled him forward, like propelled him to work at the game, because he wants an outcome that's desirable in his mind. And so it's worth it to him to try harder to win, to try and get that outcome to come to pass. And what's interesting is there has to have been some carryover from your home. I mean, because is it your daughter or your son that's his parent?
It's our daughter.
So your daughter had to have felt.
Yeah, I can't say that we were as consistent as they are with it, but, you know, Sunday afternoon was life, Monopoly,
right?
You know, things like that. That's where they spent their time, were playing things like that. So yeah, I would say, and David, her husband, is also, they were big game people. In fact, she's a great example of not having much. He's one of eight. They were probably lower middle class, rural area. Mom worked full time at night. Dad worked during the day. So it was kind of a, you know, free for all in a lot of ways.
Right.
But they depended on each other for their play, and they spent a lot of time playing because they didn't have.
There wasn't any other option.
You know, they didn't have the outside influences of anything else. And so if it weren't for the bikes, the, you know, balls, and as well as the board games and things like that that they had at home, things would have been pretty rough for them. They didn't have next door neighbors. They lived in a very isolated, I mean, they could get on a bike and ride a couple of miles and get to somebody, but they lived in a pretty isolated rural area of New Mexico. And they really depended on play. I mean, you know, that was their pastime.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
Yeah. And I've heard so many people say, I'm so glad that I had that because I developed I developed the ability to say, oh, I can make this fun. Like, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can make that interesting.
Totally. Yes. And I do, you know, I really think for my own kids, Melissa and Andrea, especially our two oldest girls, they did a lot of that with their younger brothers. They were like, okay, well, let's take these scarves, because I have a memory of them playing with a little box container of like handkerchiefs and neckerchiefs and scarves that were grandma's that got passed down to us. And that's what they played with for hours. They would play.
Oh, yeah.
And get their brothers involved in it and tie things together and make a tightrope and then take things apart and dress up and, you know. And so that was a really, that was something else that came to mind as we were talking of things that they played. Were creative.
And I remember being so much more happy with a box of something that I could assemble myself. Like my dress ups
mm-hmm.
were a bunch of silky material, just, you know, like 2 or 3 yards of it cut from the bolt, and then a box of safety pins. And you can make a cape, and you can make a dress, and you can make a petticoat, and you can make a mermaid costume, and you can make a cave that was how I grew up playing. There wasn't any pre-made princess dress up. There wasn't any, you know, pre-made tent that we could go camp at. No, it was like, oh no, you make exactly what you want. And then
you go grab the blankets. Yeah, you grab the blankets to make your tent or fort, use the kitchen table.
Of course,
you know, my
yes.
kids would do that. And within an hour, they would have this three-room
oh, yeah.
setup.
And then they, you know, and then somehow you figure out how to have a light in there, and you figure out how to,
oh, yeah.
you know, keep yourself entertained. And, I'd haul all my books outside and, you know, put it up in a tree and, you know, come dinner time, it was,
yeah.
we're still out there, still playing with it. And yep. I
back in the day when we had clotheslines, you know, outdoor clotheslines.
Oh, yes.
My friend and I, we would have like houses, we could stand up in the rooms, and we would have rooms that go, you know, the whole length of the backyard on her clothesline. And we would take an extension cord out and put her little, record player.
Oh yeah.
And we would play little 45s.
Of
course. I have vivid memories of that.
Right?
Like you say, flashlights. We'd leave it up for days.
Oh yeah.
in the summer.
You know, that was like the best thing ever in the summer is that, okay, you go home and I'll go to bed and we'll meet back here tomorrow and we'll do it all again.
Yep.
You know, and it was,
absolutely.
You know, wash and repeat, you know, every day of summer.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think, I mean, attention spans of my children have definitely, they're not as long as that. And I think that is my own parenting folly for, you know, saying, oh, let's clean it up and move on, you know, and then we can start tomorrow fresh. And if you want to get it back out tomorrow, but you never actually want to go back and repeat, right? I think that's what we miss in some of being the adults watching the children play is sometimes we miss mm-hmm. the fact that if we just let them continue, they on their own will eventually progress through that to a new stopping point. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about how kind of the play legacy you passed on to your kids. Like what kind of childhood did you try and provide for them?
For George and I personally, one thing that we wanted for our kids was balance. So we didn't have them signed up for every single thing constantly. They picked one thing and they did that, finished it, and then they could pick something else. But we weren't doing soccer. Well, like I hate to use my own grandkids as an example, but right now, you know, one's playing soccer, finishing up basketball, going to tryouts for baseball. We didn't do that. We just did, you know, they could choose one thing. Music lessons obviously continued. They all, you know, had their piano lessons or whatever. But
yeah.
as far as sports and that, because we just felt like
you had five kids, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's actually five sports for you. That's five activities for you, maybe one for them, but it's five for you to manage.
Exactly. Our oldest daughter was a competitive gymnast until she was about 14. And that just took a ton of time and toll on everyone because we were constantly dragging kids off to gymnastics meets and, you know, things like that.
Right.
But typically they chose one sport or, you know, whatever, and we did it till it was finished, but nobody was piggybacking or going to soccer practice on Tuesdays and Thursdays and baseball on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. They picked one and we stayed with it. And even though it sounds like they, you know, well, I guess it doesn't sound, I was going to say it sounds like maybe they only got to experience one thing, they still got to experience a lot of different activities, but it also allowed them time to do what they called backyard wrestling, backyard trampoline
yes.
wrestling.
Uh-huh.
And all their friends came, and Michael would have tournaments, and they had announcers, and, you know, they
of
just
course.
They played and worked really hard at that.
Yes, but
and
they
had
stuck
he
with
been
it.
In two or three different things, he would never have been able to, they would not have had those rich experiences. I mean, those boys are all in their 30s now, and they're still talking about it. And actually, a couple of them have passed it on to their kids. So I think for me personally, my parents, because we didn't have a lot either, we had to play. We had to go outside, and that was what I loved. And so that's what I tried to pass on to my own kids, is that being playing, whether that is the board game, the soccer ball, the baseball, the whatever, just in the backyard, not organized.
Right.
But some of those backyard experiences were vital.
Well, and
for
I
me
think,
as a parent to have my kids' experience.
For sure. And I think that the intuitive play, like you developed their intuition for saying, I like this. I want to explore more of this. I mean, they're probably all really good friends still. They're probably all really good connected because they built that connection. They maintained it in a way that everybody was safe. Everybody was happy. Everybody could voice their opinion. And then that could progress to an adult natural relationship instead of saying, this is the end and we're done. Moving on.
Yes. And I can remember a few times, you know, having to run out there and say, all right, you know, break it up just because. But that also taught them, you know, a lot of life lessons of how to solve, you know, problem solving, how to solve it. And no, you can't be the guy that, yes, compromise, things like that. And boy, they are still all buddies. Now they're all playing soccer together.
Oh, that's so fun. I mean, they still then play together. You know, like then they still find value in those relationships through play. And I grew up in a neighborhood with not that many kids. I mean, I was the only youth in our church congregation that had, you know, I was the only youth of my gender. There were a couple other boys my age.
Oh, wow.
But that was it. And so there's a lot of connective tissue of building some of those long-lasting relationships that I've missed in my life. But watching and admiring other people have those experiences makes me want to, you know, I mean, I want to distill the ingredients for what that takes for my kids. And even me as an adult, how can I alter that recipe to kind of apply to my adult life as well? You grew up playing sports and being very active. Do you carry that through even now? Like, do you find yourself, when you want something fun to do, do you flow to that sort of naturally still?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. I love to be outside. And so, like, I had a foot injury 4 years ago that kept me pretty laid back, but I would still be out there on my scooter trying to hit the wiffle ball with my grandkids because that's where I am. That's what I love to do.
Yeah.
Is to be out and to be, you know, doing physical type play. That's what I prefer.
And so you still find yourself looking for that, searching for that, even when it's physically more difficult. You're still
absolutely
pushing for that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I mean, I'm in my 60s, but the thought of going bowling is like, yeah, I would love to do that.
I love
because
that.
It's physical. It's, you know, it's getting me out and it's active. And yeah, absolutely. That is what I tend to want to do.
That's amazing. That is so awesome. So you find that fulfilling, and is that something that you and George also do together? Are you physically active together?
How do I answer that? Because that's probably not on his top of the list. Although he's pretty good about, you know, going out to play with the kids.
Uh-huh.
But I honestly tend to be more the one that instigates it and says, come on, let's go and do this.
Yeah.
He's a skier and a mountain biker, and I blew my knee out skiing, so I've never done that again.
Oh, yeah.
And riding on an 8-inch trail with a drop-off on two wheels doesn't make me excited. But on the other hand, I can't do mountain biking. But on the other hand, we love to go outdoors and go hiking, do things like that together.
Yeah.
And if we're including it all, spectator, nothing thrills the two of us more than a football game.
Oh, really?
Honestly.
Like a live football game?
Oh, yes. Like, we've been season ticket holders to Boise State football for 25 years.
Yeah.
And it would take death to keep me away from a Boise State football game.
That's awesome.
I mean, honestly, I've gone sick. I've gone, with my foot, I had to hop up, however many steps to where our seats are.
Oh, yeah.
Where I had my foot surgery. I didn't miss a game.
That's,
I mean, that is something that we really enjoy
for
doing
sure
together.
Commitment.
I know.
Yes.
I know. It's pretty nuts. It is. We've been going to games together since I was 16 and a half, 17. So.
Oh, that's right. You guys are high school sweethearts.
That was some of our very earliest
I love
dates.
That. I love that. You like just keep it up.
So.
That is so awesome. Okay. And then I want you to answer for me. Well, I guess maybe I should rephrase it in what effort do you put into sparking joy into those around you? Because whether or not they take joy away from that is up to them. But how
True.
Do you?
How do I? Well, I do. I try to. So, for instance, every month we get together, all the kids, the grandkids that are here, we try to get together and, well, we do every once a month at least. And have dinner, and we do something, like I say, the backyard, baseball, the wiffle ball, things like that. For me personally, that together time of making sure everyone's included, that we do something that everyone, even the littlest, can go and enjoy doing.
Yes.
And if they're not old enough, then we've got oftentimes, I have a little one on my hand and we're running the bases or, trying to catch the ball.
Right.
So inclusion, I think, is really important. That's something really important to me, is that everybody feels included, that we're all on an even par. It doesn't matter who's the best, as long as we're all trying and included and having, trying to have a good time with
yeah.
what we do.
Yeah.
And a good meal doesn't hurt.
Yes. Good food is good bonding.
I've got a granddaughter that's 16 and is a book and music nerd. That's all that she can think about. She did the sports thing when she was little, but boy, music, playing the piano, her violin, reading good books, things like that are just what she loves to do. And I generally, one of my favorite, because of my music, love of music, one of my favorite things is when she's there is to, grab the latest music that she has. The latest is Dear Evan Hansen, and sit down and have her play and sing along with her, do things like that. I think that makes her joyful and feel like she's a part of what we're all doing. That's just really important to me.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, and I love that you've encouraged the diversity in whatever their interest is. So, allowing them to find their scope.
Well, our son Michael was a sophomore in high school, and all he wanted to do was be a football player like his big brother. And Michael is a lot of things, but an athlete is not one of them. Yeah. He had the brain for it. He had a lot of knowledge for it, but his body just couldn't do it. And he got injured, and it was probably the best thing that ever happened to him, because that's when he picked up a guitar.
Oh.
And picked up his guitar. Yeah, we got him a guitar, and he started singing. He was in choir. And before I know it, he's got a band, and he's playing at the Tree Fort Music Festival here in Boise.
Amazing.
You know, and
yeah.
So I tried not to have my kids be, you know, it's this way or no way. If you don't play sports, then you don't do anything, you know. So
right.
I think here again, I feel like even in play with kids, with littles, that you have to have balance to that.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so I think balance means just so much in their development, is the type of, you know, activities that they're doing. Keep a balance of that. Keep things going. Don't let them sit too long, but don't keep them overbooked. That's probably my number one mantra, is don't overbook your kids. That just destroys everything.
I would also extend that to adults as well.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my goodness. I totally believe that for adults.
This has been perfect. I'm so grateful that you would come on and be willing to be recorded. I'm so happy that you would do this, because I value your perspective, and you've been influential in my just sort of adulthood and in being a mother, and I'm very grateful for that.
Thank you.
I'm very glad that you would agree to come on.
Thank you. Oh, it was wonderful. Just a great experience, and it's made me do a lot of thinking that I hadn't, you know, some of these things you just kind of take for granted, but you need to stop and take a look back and make sure that, you know, things are going the way you want.
Okay, I just want to thank Carolee one more time for taking the time to talk to me on the phone and taking the time to reflect on play with me and see where there's some tips that we can glean from her marvelous example. So again, those three takeaways are inclusion. So including people in what you do to be playful, being proud of your effort and doing your best. And number three, don't overbook yourself. I think that one is really key as we sort of start reintegrating into society and figuring out how best to manage our lives going forward. So just three quick things. I hope this episode finds you all well and happy. Thank you for listening today. This podcast is fueled by my family's mission at the Oliver Fund. We send toys to children in hardship all over the world. You can find out more and join us in helping those children at theoliverfund.org, or look us up on social media at The Oliver Fund, and you can find the podcast page at Art of Play Podcast. Here's to leaving you to your weekend a little more hopeful and hopefully more happily playful.